Dear beloved of God, grace and peace are yours this day in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this morning is week two of a summer-long series in which we're taking a deeper look at some of the church's most beloved hymns. For years, and in some cases centuries, these hymns have comforted and encouraged and emboldened the faithful. In singing these hymns, many have been drawn closer to God. They have glimpsed something of God's beauty and love and transcendence in the pairing of text and tune. Last week, Pastor Los kicked us off here in Minneapolis in a beautiful fashion with Amazing Grace. And this week we have another treasure, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Personally, I can't remember a time in my life when I didn't enjoy singing this hymn, even when I was deep in my sullen and sarcastic teenage years, resenting the early wake-up call to go to church. I still kind of dug this hymn. It's jaunty, bouncy, filled with life and energy. And as a graduate of the other Lutheran college in southern Minnesota, the choral arrangement by Aphmalius Chris Johnson only further deepened my love for this hymn. If you've not heard that arrangement sung recently, I urge you to look it up online when you get home. I'm certain that you can even find a rendition done by the Gustavus Choir if you can't abide listening to the velveted, purple-robed ones. Now, of course, this hymn is more than just sonically and aesthetically beautiful. There are deep theological riches to be plumbed in this hymn of praise. It begins, as many songs and psalms of praise do, by declaring that the God of whom we sing is the God who created heaven and earth and all that is in it. But that God, the hymn declares, is not some far removed God. This isn't Bette Midler's God. From a distance, God is watching us. No, this God is particularly focused and invested in you. This God is your health and your salvation, as we sing in verse 1 of this hymn. And this is one of the things that I find particularly moving about this hymn and the psalm that Pastor McLean just read earlier in the service. The focus of the lens of these two pieces of music is constantly shifting from a wide-angle view to narrow, shallow depth of field. We're invited to consider the incredible breadth of the created world and to know and trust that the God who did all of this, who made this beautiful world, who continues to create and sustain all of this, cares for and is invested in you. Big creation, little old you, back and forth. Now, at times it can feel almost a little whiplash inducing, like you aren't quite sure where to look, where to focus, what to pay attention to. But praise, like its closely linked counterpart, gratitude, is kind of like a muscle that we need to exercise and build. The more we use it, the stronger it gets. The more we give thanks, the more things that we see for which we can give thanks. The more we offer praise, the more things and people and experiences that we see that are worthy of praise. And so the scope and breadth of this hymn helps us to pay attention to all those things. Now, in this week's Gospel Unplugged that I did with Pastor Rudd, which is a weekly video that the pastors put out on social media or that get distributed to our weekly email list, I mentioned that for a long time I kind of struggled with praise. Not because I didn't think that there were things that were worthy of praising, but because sometimes it feels as though the volume of praise language that's present in Scripture makes God feel a little needy. Like all of those invitations and exhortations to praise God that are present in the Bible made God seem like he was in constant need of a little ego stroke. But then one of my professors in seminary said that perhaps the praise of God isn't so much for God, but praise is for our neighbors and for ourselves. Like when we praise God, we're describing and pointing to the ways in which God has been at work in our lives and in this world. And that's helpful and life-giving for others. And it reminds us of what God has done. So that through your praise, you're actually helping others begin to see what God has done and what God promises to keep doing. Now, I've got an example of someone who has done this for me many times throughout my life. But I need you all to promise that you won't tell him. If you tell him that I said nice things about him, I'll deny it. Okay, so you might know that my office is right next door to Pastor Callen's. And on most days, he beats me into the office in the morning. And so when I walk past his office, two things invariably happen each morning. First, he says, "Hey, I haven't seen you since yesterday." Anybody heard that one before? And the second thing that usually happens is that he asks about my kids or my wife or what's new in my life. On one level, it's the usual office banter. But then, whatever anecdote or story or thing that I share from my life, he usually responds by saying, "Thank you, God," or "Praise Jesus." Now, usually I wasn't thinking about whatever thing that I was sharing as being particularly praiseworthy. Like most of the time, it's just ordinary, everyday stuff. Running the kids to lacrosse or basketball games, mowing the lawn or weeding, just doing nothing with my family on a Sunday afternoon. But day by day, time and again, Pastor Callen helps me to see those simple things, those ordinary things, as being worthy of praise and thanks to God. And as I do that, praise becomes this gift that reframes how we get to see this world and our work in it. It helps me and us to see the ordinary and simple stuff of life as being integral to the work of God in this world. And it's a beautiful gift. Just don't tell him I told you. All right, last thing for today. The English translation of verse 3 that we sang before the sermon started gets one word wrong. In the line, "Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with his love he befriends you," well, that's just not a very good rendering of the German. It shouldn't be conditional. God has befriended you today and every day. So the invitation to ponder, well, it doesn't depend on whether or not God loves you. That's a done deal. In Jesus Christ, you have been forever made one of God's beloved. You bear the sign of the cross on your forehead, Christ's victory over death and the grave. You are unequivocally God's beloved. So since God has befriended you, made you his beloved child, how will you see this world? One worthy of celebration and praise and partnership? I invite you to ponder that while we sing the final verse.